Welcome to our study on the Epistle of Paul to the Galatians. And this is a very dynamic, if I could say that, epistle. In the hands of Martin Luther, this turned the world upside down because it brought in a new doctrine, if I could say that, that the just shall live by faith. Now, Martin Luther was a Roman Catholic priest, and he had been accustomed to the teachings of the Church of Rome that one was justified by one's works. But then God spoke to Martin Luther when he was in Rome, and he said, "The just shall live by the faith of the Son of God." And so Martin Luther became a proponent of that doctrine, and that doctrine he found more in the epistle of Paul to the Galatians than anywhere else. And so this epistle, in the hands of Martin Luther, and also because of his great oratory, he was able to convince countless thousands of people that Rome was wrong. And in actuality, the Bible teaching was that the just shall live by faith. Well, we're going to look in this epistle, and it was an epistle of Paul to the Galatian church. Well, Galatia was a province in what we might term modern-day Turkey. It was a Roman colony, and it consisted of a number of churches that Paul had visited in his second and third missionary journeys. And he had quite a lot of success in this area. He was going from town to town and raised up churches there. But he is now in Corinth, which is in Greece, and he hears of the lamentable state of this Galatian church that he had founded some time ago. And the problem basically was this, that yes, they had received the doctrine of the just shall live by faith, but the problem was that other Jews came in and they gave other teachings, and there was a mixture in the Galatian church, and so there wasn't a real pure, if I could say this, gospel. Well, Paul is very troubled. And actually, this problem in the Galatian church not only was there, but it moved across to other New Testament churches, and this had to be dealt with. The problem had to be eradicated so that the church was on a firm foundation. Now, you say, well, that was in the days of Paul. Yes, that's true. But you know, we have the same problem today. Mixture in the church. And because of this mixture, the gospel is not clearly defined. And therefore, we have to pay real strict attention to this Galatian epistle, because we have to see, first of all, the error. The error basically was a mixture. Paul calls it another gospel, and yet in a certain sense he said it's not another gospel, but he said it's a gospel that has been mixed and polluted, and if you like, diluted. And the result is that the power of the gospel message has been lost. Now, we're experiencing today, and it's quite normal to understand this, because obviously Satan does not want the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached throughout the world. And so he brings in mixture. He brings in the world. Now, with Galatia, it was the problem of the Jews. They brought in their old traditions, if I could say that. And they brought in the fact that in the Old Testament, the requirement had been made that every believer had to be circumcised, and they brought this in again. Well, it was bringing in the works of the law, and in actuality, what the Jews were saying was this: well, yes, you have the gospel, but you need to add to the gospel, and that is very dangerous indeed. And they were adding their traditions, and the result was the purity of the gospel was missed. Well, the Apostle Paul now is going to address all these things, and he brings out a number of points that I think are very important indeed. First of all, he calls it, well, another gospel. But in the Corinthian epistle that was written later, you know, the situation had become so serious that the gospel had been completely polluted. And so, addressing the Corinthian church, he calls it another gospel, another Jesus, another spirit, and he calls the proponents of this message false apostles, false prophets. Well, you can see that it's very serious indeed. You know, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And that is why we have to consider this Galatian epistle as a warning to us in the last days. Now, we're looking at this Galatian epistle. We're looking at, basically, in this session, the two first chapters. And, you know, in the first chapter, you know, Paul declares that the gospel that he had received was not given by man, but he received it by revelation of God. In other words, when Paul was met by the Lord Jesus in that extraordinary vision on the road to Damascus, he went to Damascus, he was struck blind, actually, by the Spirit of God, and then he went to a house in a road called Straight, and there God sent another disciple by the name of Ananias, and went there and he prayed for Paul, and as he prayed for Paul, as it were, the scales fell off his eyes and he began to see, as it were, the true light of the gospel. But then afterwards we're told that for about 3 years Paul left Damascus and went into the desert of Arabia, and there by revelation from God he was given the truth of the gospel message, that the just shall live by the faith of the Son of God, and that by the law no man is justified. In other words, by our own works we are not going to get to heaven, but we get to heaven by belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in chapter 1 of this epistle, the Apostle Paul lays down his apostleship. He said, look, I'm an apostle, not by the will of men, but by the will of God. God has raised me up, God has called me to reveal in me his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see, that's another very important truth, because in other places, Paul will bring out this: Christ in you is the hope of glory. And here is the gospel, that we ask the Lord to forgive us our sins, and then we ask him to come into our hearts, and we are a new creation, a new creation. And so we have the life of Christ in us, and we have the old man. And that basically causes trouble. We have two creatures within us. We have our old nature, and we have the nature of Christ. And we'll go on into chapter 2 in a few moments, and we'll see how that is going to be reconciled. But chapter 1, Paul is laying down his authority as an apostle, and the fact that he received this gospel, not from men, not by consulting men, but he received it in the Arabian desert by revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Then he came back, and then he started preaching in those areas. And then, you see, after about 14 years, he came up to Jerusalem and met all the apostles, and he explained, you see, the message that God had given to him, and that the burden on his heart was to go to the Gentiles. Peter, the other great apostle there, it was very clear. His message, you know, and his ministry was to go to the Jews and to convert them. Paul was to go to the Gentiles. And the other apostles looked upon Paul. They listened to the message that he had been preaching, and they said, well, it's exactly the same that we preach. They gave him the right hand of fellowship and embraced him and accepted him as one of the apostolic band. And so Paul, you know, writing to the Galatian church, says, now look, he said, I received this gospel from the Lord, and also it was authenticated by the other apostles. But then there came a problem. Here he was in Jerusalem, accepted by Peter, accepted by John, accepted by James, accepted by the other apostles of the Lamb. And then he moves up to Antioch, and there they run into a problem. Peter comes up. Barnabas, who was the soulmate, if I could say that, of Paul, you know, he's there. And then there come the Jews. And Peter, the first apostle, the premier apostle, you know, he vacillates. And he has a certain fear of these Jews. And these Jews say, well, look, you have to be circumcised. You have to be separate from these Gentiles. And Peter, who had been eating with the Gentiles until these other Jews came, vacillated, separated himself. There was a lot of dissimulation. And Barnabas, the soulmate of Paul, you know, went with Peter. In other words, the early church did have its problems. And thank God for Paul. Paul stood up, faced Peter, and said, look, let's have the thing very clear indeed. You know, if salvation is by the Jews, then why are you with the Gentiles? And, you know, Peter vacillated, but Paul would not let him go. And Paul said, now look, let's be very clear. You know, if indeed we can be saved by our own works, then Christ died in vain. But Christ died because no one can keep the law. No one has kept the law with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We're all sinners. We need salvation. And we have no hope unless there is someone who died in our place. And that, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made in the likeness of man, born of a woman, and who lived an impeccable life, and then died for our sins. And this is what the Apostle Paul is emphasizing. You see, the early church did have its problems. They vacillated. And you know, today, the church is vacillating. You know, they're bringing in the world, they're changing the gospel. And we have to realize this, that God has called us to holiness. God has called us to separate from the world. And God has made it very clear in his word that without holiness, no man is going to see the Lord. Now then, we've got to come to the place where we ourselves are very clear cut on the way to heaven. You know, I have the privilege of traveling, and we were in the state of Maryland, and we were being entertained by some of the elders of the church there that we were ministering to, and we were in a restaurant, and as my habit is, I said to the waiter, "Do you go to church?" Well, it turned out that this waiter used to go to church, but he no longer did. And that brings up another point, a very important point. And I'm just going to break at this moment to tackle that point. He used to go, you see, and this is the problem with the Galatian church. They did walk well, but they had turned. And I want to consider the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Isaiah and also in the Gospels, Jesus made it very clear that in actuality, he was sent to the lost sheep of the tribes of Israel. In other words, one of the great problems in the church is this: people start well and they turn aside. And this was a situation in the nation of Israel. They had turned aside, and Jesus was sent to bring them back to the truth. Well, here we were in this restaurant, and here was this person, this waiter, and he said, "You know, I used to go to church, but I don't anymore." And he got mixed up with all kinds of religions. And his argument was now this: oh, well, there are many roads to salvation, many roads to heaven. And this is the problem, you see, that the Galatian church is addressing, that in fact they had let in others who were corrupting the gospel and giving all kinds of conditions to get to heaven, which were false. There's only one way, and this is what Paul was emphasizing and is emphasizing in the whole of this epistle, that there's only one way, and that is through Christ. And it is the just shall live by the faith of the Son of God. Now, I mentioned a little moment ago about the fact, yes, when we ask Jesus to forgive us, he comes in us. And that's what Paul was saying, that God had called him to reveal his Son in Paul. And that's what God wants to do in each one of our lives, to reveal the nature of Jesus, so that Jesus shines forth from us. But I mentioned also, we still have our old nature. And so the Apostle Paul now is going to tell us how to overcome that old nature. And he brings it out in Romans chapter 6. He brings it out here in Galatians. And we want to look at it because we want to triumph in our life, whereby we understand that God has made provision for that old nature. And when he went to the cross, he took our old nature with him. And so the Apostle Paul is going to bring out a very important truth that I want to spend a few moments with you on, so that you might, you know, experience this joy of victory. And it is written in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. You know, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And he then goes on to say, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Well, let's look at that, shall we? I am crucified with Christ. And, you know, when you're in the ministry, God often gives you experiences that through these experiences, you can illustrate the truth of the gospel. Now, as I said before, when we receive Jesus as our Savior, he comes into us. We are a new creation, but we still got the old one. And there is a battle in us, you see, and Paul brings it out. He said, the things I would do, I can't, but the things I would not, I do. In other words, there's a battle. Well, what is God's, shall I say, remedy for that? And it is that when Jesus went to the cross, he took our old nature with him. Now, this was brought out to me when I was a young pastor in an evangelical church in the state of Washington, United States of America. And the Lord dealt with me, and he said this. He said, is your life going to be victory, defeat, victory, defeat? And he said, God forbid. He said, I want to give you a life of constant victory. And then he started dealing with things in my life. He said, you know, if you want this victory, you've got to give up certain things. Some things were so, oh, infinitesimally small that I wondered that God even bothered with them. But he said, no, that has to go, that has to go. Some things were much harder, and I had to pray. And then he said, will you give me your wife? Well, I knew from experience with God that something was going to happen to my wife. When he said that, I said, I cannot. But you know, he was very gracious, and he led me into an experience whereby he could speak to me and say, who loves your wife most, you or me? Well, I said, you do. He said, who has got the greatest power to look after her, you or me? And I said, well, you do. He said, well, why don't you give me your wife? And somehow, in my heart, I could release my wife to the Lord. And then, a few days later, you see, I had an experience in my office in the church, and I saw Christ on the cross. And I was lifted up to be with Christ in that cross. And I realized, yes, my old man had been taken to the cross by Jesus. Then that vision ceased. And then I saw the veil of the temple, and it was rent from top to bottom, and the veil speaks of his flesh. And then afterwards, I felt a roll in the spirit from the bottomless part of my being coming out, and those beautiful words came forth in Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. And, you know, you ask God to deal with things in your life, and that he brings you into this realization, yes, of the crucified life, whereby we take up our cross daily, whereby we have victory over the old man, and the new man shines forth. Well, there we are. That's Galatians 2:20. And you see, as we've already read, you know, the Apostle Paul says this. Look, and I want to read it again, you know, in verse 21. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, in other words, if by our do's and don'ts, God's righteousness is revealed, then what was the purpose of Christ on the cross? And so what I'm saying is this, don't let us have a mixture as they had in the Galatian church and the Corinthian church later on. But let us realize salvation comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and when we ask the Lord to come into our life, he comes in. And, you know, we have the two natures, and God can give us such victory, whereby the old nature is crucified. The old nature is on the cross, and therefore, you know, we can reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ and yield to righteousness and not yield to sin. See, that is a glorious victory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And beloved, do not let us, you know, mix it with the things of this world, because the things of this world can never satisfy. They can only pollute and indeed cause a mixture and cause the gospel message to lose its power. So let us learn that lesson from this first session in Galatians. And may God bless you, and may you live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and set you free. God bless you.